In the world of scholars, there is a study of what's called theological architecture. And this is a very specific field of study that looks at the impact of architecture, specifically the architecture of churches, on how people understand God and experience Jesus. And it makes sense that large churches, like the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City, could be studied. After all, there's a lot to see in those churches. Stained glass, intricately detailed carvings, and even the layout of the building. But even small churches like ours have a lot to say about theological architecture. We don't have any stained glass or intricately detailed carvings, but the layout of even this church building says something interesting about the people who built it. In most Episcopal churches, the architecture focuses on the altar. Eyes are drawn to the central location of the altar in the church, and this reflects the central role that the Eucharist has in our understanding of God and our experience of Jesus Christ. In our strange old church, however, the focus is ultimately drawn to that pulpit. Not this small lectern that I use here, but that tall pulpit up there. And occasionally people who visit the church will ask if I preach from up there. My priest and deacon colleagues are especially interested about that, and I often joke that I'm afraid of heights, so I've actually never even been up those stairs. And I am really afraid of heights, but I would feel really strange preaching from up there, like somehow the words I was sharing were the voice of God. And nothing could be farther from the truth. And this study of how our worship spaces work, it's not something new. The shape and structure of houses of worship have always spoken of people's understanding of God. We can even look at the architecture of the temple in Jerusalem, which was destroyed about 40 years after the death of Christ. Today, only the western wall, which some people also call the Wailing Wall, that's all that remains all these years later. However, there are also records of how the temple used to look and how worship used to take place. And one of the most important parts of the temple in Jerusalem was the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the building. The Holy of Holies was the area of the temple that housed the very presence of God on earth. Only one priest had permission to enter the Holy of Holies, and that responsibility rotated from priest to priest each year. There are some accounts that say that that one priest, that you could only go into that part of the building once per year. The Holy of Holies was separated from the public parts of the temple by a curtain. And the whole reason I'm talking about the curtain in the temple is because of what happens in today's reading of the Passion story. We hear that at the moment of Christ's death on the cross, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So much of what happens in today's reading of the Passion story is familiar. Whether or not we are regular church attenders, whether or not we have been going to church since childhood, or if we're just now getting into the habit. And we need only look at the popularity of the movie, The Passion of the Christ, to know that the details of the story are familiar to many people. Many people know the story, and it's honestly gory details. Details of betrayal and anguish, pain and death. And in fact, we remember some details of this story whenever we gather to celebrate Mass and whenever we say the words of the Creed. We affirm our faith by saying, "For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried." Some traditions of the church say that Christ descended among the dead, in hell actually, until his resurrection on Easter Sunday. As one author put it, the very moment Jesus entered hell, here on earth all heaven broke loose. And I love that image. The ripping of the curtain separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of creation represents the breaking down of the separation between God and humanity. The moment of Christ's death announces a new era in God's relationship with all of creation. No more does God need to be separated behind a curtain. No more does God need to be cordoned off from people. No more do people need to be protected from God. Instead, the death of Christ erases the need for a curtain. God's presence comes to fill all of creation in a new way because of the death of Jesus. The tearing of the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem is more than just an annoying nuisance requiring the help of a tailor. The tearing of the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem signifies the end of the need to be separated from God. Indeed, the death of Christ shows God's willingness to experience all the wide range of human experience, even death upon a cross. The tearing of the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem represents, in some ways, the end of dependence on a physical building to worship God. At our recent vestry retreat, we heard about the need to avoid worshiping the building, but rather to focus on worshiping God. Yes, God is present in our beloved and beautiful building, but no, God is not the building. The tearing of the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem shows the beginning of a new kind of temple. In a new era, the temple will not be a building. Christ's death ushered in that new era, an era in which the whole world is God's temple. An era in which our very hearts are God's temple, an era in which the Holy of Holies, that place where God lives, is open to all people. In the violence and gore and scary details of today's story, even then and even now, we give thanks that the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem tore from top to bottom. Now, all people have access to the Holy of Holies, God's very presence on earth. And for that, we give thanks. Amen. Amen. Amen.